And that's what I love about coming out into nature, that if I'm sitting at home trying to make sense of things, that sense making is too logical, too practical. Welcome to Landscaping Your Life with Alison Smith, where I use nature's landscapes as metaphors for your life, helping you to get back on track when you're stuck and don't know what to do. Whether that's when you're lost, lacking in focus, motivation or confidence, or feeling stressed or overwhelmed. Send the situation you're grappling with on a coffee break as you explore one of nature's landscapes to gain insight and a different perspective you can apply to the situation later. Today's episode looks at those times when you're feeling ungrounded and out of sorts. There may be no specific reason you can attribute to the feeling, just a malaise of sorts providing a disconnect between you and your life. To do this, I'll be sharing two poems I've written on the subject and also use nature's landscapes as a metaphor to help you make sense of how you're feeling and to identify potential action steps. To make more sense of what I talk about, it's useful to have a situation you'd like more insight on. Perhaps you resonate with feeling out of sorts or ungrounded, or can't put a finger on what's wrong, or just don't know what to do about a situation and would like a different perspective. I'd wholeheartedly recommend, therefore, that you take a little time to be clear about the situation you're wanting a different perspective about before listening to the rest of the podcast. You can then apply the questions I ask to that situation or problem. As I have since the second series, the majority of each episode is recorded in nature, as I use its landscapes as metaphors for our lives. And today's recording was made on the beach in Burnt Island, Fife, Scotland. One other suggestion for this episode particularly would be to go out into nature as you listen to it, so that as I share my own insights and thoughts, you can make your own connections to the landscape that's in front of you. I'm starting the podcast with a postscript. And it's a postscript that relates to feeling ungrounded and out of sorts and not knowing what to do, which is what the whole episode's about. But it's the fact that I'd recorded my podcast, I'd shared a couple of poems, I'd been out in nature, I'd shared what I had to share, and then I got home and oh my golly, I then went into that beating myself up. Oh my god, that was useless, that was drivel, that was, yeah, of no use whatsoever. So although I'd pulled it all together, I'd sent it off to be, you know, podcasted and put together as an episode, and I sent an email the next morning going, no, halt, I need time to think about whether that's right. But as I reflect on this a few days later, I realise, isn't that what happens when we're out of sorts? That we start to doubt ourselves, and that's exactly what I was doing. I was embodying that out of sorts ungroundedness. And yet, as you'll hear in the rest of the episode, towards the end I talk about that the niggle is just one part of the landscape, but also the fact that what I'm saying is only one part of the answer for you, that I don't need to have all of the answers, that I have to trust that there's something I've said, some insight, something that's triggered it, something in your memory, or that as you like look out at your landscape, you're able to say, oh god, yes, this is what I can see in my landscape, and this is what this means to me. And that's enough. I just played my little part. It didn't have to be the whole part, giving the whole answer to everything. All I'm there to do is to provide hints, nudges, hold the mirror up to you for you to say, ah, yes, this is how I see the situation. So here is that podcast episode that I went into it's not good enough mode about. And only you can determine whether it's providing you with enough insight for you to come back and listen to other episodes. The sense I have, to be fair, is if the first poem I share within the first few minutes resonates for you, that you'll get a heck of a lot from the rest of the session. If it doesn't, I'd highly recommend that you go and find another of the episodes that where the topic resonates with how you're feeling at the moment, because that's my aim. Every episode's just there to help you get back on track, and not every episode is going to help every situation. The first poem I'm sharing you with today would suggest that the landscape I'm going to go out in to embody it ought to be a wood and near trees, and yet I'm here on a beach where the tide is going out and there isn't a tree in sight really. So let's see, as I do with all podcasts, it's not really planned as such. The insight emerges as I notice what I notice, as I bring in the words from the poem and allow nature's insight to further deepen and inform the words. So the first poem I'll start with is the one that is more directly or easily attributable to nature, which is grounded to me. So let's hear me telling you that poem, and then we'll come back and explore what I have to say about it. Grounded to me. Uprooted and disconnected. A sense of jitteriness and wobbliness, reminding me of my ungroundedness. And yet, where to look for that grounding? I'd always imagined roots like the mighty oak, something tethering me deep into the ground. Roots bringing the energy I lacked up from the earth's inner core into my feet, ankles, calves, knees, and then upwards. Until I realised my own groundedness came from within, an uprooting and disconnection from myself. Those imaginary roots required too much effort, that tethering further distancing me from my own inner core. Feeling ungrounded and trying too hard to find those external roots then is a signal and a reminder I've stepped away from who I am, become someone I'm not, and forgotten that I am enough. It's useful perhaps to go back to landscaping your life origins back into 2000. Where one of the first tools that I used was inviting people to think about a landscape that reflected how they were feeling, and then another landscape to reflect how they wanted to feel. And therefore, if somebody was feeling ungrounded, they may very well have imagined, or I might have even invited them to think about the sort of ungrounded they felt. They might have felt like they were a tree that had fallen over, who'd been uprooted, that was unsure under in its roots. And to then change that representation, to change the landscape that was representing how they were feeling, to shore up those roots, if you will, to put more earth under the roots, to have deeper roots going into the ground. And the reason that we use a landscape to represent the situation is that we're distancing ourselves away from the story, the detail, the drama of the current situation, and we're seeing it as if in front of us, represented by nature. And it's much easier for us to be able to make changes that then filter through into our changes in our mindset to enable us to feel differently about the situation. It's as if we're saying that landscape represents how I'm feeling, the new landscape represents how I'm going to feel, and our brain then puts the two together and go, ah, okay, yeah, you want to change in mindset. And a lot of the tools that I talk about on this podcast and in the book Can't See the Wood for the Trees use some form of that premise. Really, you're either starting with one landscape, making changes to that landscape in order to move and make that landscape better, or we're moving from one to another landscape, Or we're just saying, you know what, I'm going to leave that one landscape behind and I'm going to focus on this other landscape. I'm going to focus on what I want rather than what I've got currently. What the poem does is take that a little deeper, I suspect, in suggesting we have to be careful when we're finding the groundedness from outside ourselves. Inviting us to think about why we were feeling uprooted in the first place. And the poem is suggesting it's because of that disconnect from ourselves. That it's the ungroundedness came from within, and uprooting and disconnection from myself. That by imagining roots, because yoga, a lot of meditations, don't they, think, say, imagine the roots going into the ground. And sometimes if we're really out of sorts, that imagining of those roots can feel very energy draining, can take more energy than we need. And so the poem's saying, stop trying. The groundedness is already within. You've got this. Don't look outside. And I'm sitting here trying to weigh up the how can we do both of those? How can it be true that we can use that landscaping your life process, that imagery of rooting, but also accept that rooting needs to come from within? And I'm hoping that you've got the answer for yourself on that one. It certainly leads me on to the second poem, which doesn't really mention any of nature's landscapes at all, but is aligned so much with the Grounded to Me poem, I couldn't not share it in this podcast. So have a listen to the second poem and let's continue this discussion. I reclaim all my parts. I reclaim all my parts, the parts I've lost along the way. The parts whose existence I've denied, the hidden parts, the unacknowledged and unappreciated parts, the forgotten parts, the parts I've found it hard to love. I reclaim all of my parts. I give breath to all of my parts. I love all of my parts, and all of my parts love me. I'm laughing because it wasn't until I listened to the second poem that I realise how the two relate. And that's what I love about coming out into nature, that if I'm sitting at home trying to make sense of things, that sense making is too logical, too practical, too logical really. And what that poem helps me realise, especially when I look at what would reclaiming all of my parts mean if I was this landscape, that I am all of this landscape. I'm not just one part of the landscape. So when I'm imagining those deep roots, that's only a part of me that is the roots, but I'm also the sky, I'm also the clouds and the sea and the birds flying through the sea. There's so many parts of me that are all represented in this landscape in front of me, as it is you. And that's why when we're struggling and I say, you know, look out of the window and tell me what part of the landscape represents how you're feeling currently, you can do that. You could notice the tree that's uprooted, or you could notice as I am here, the tide is out. And so it's all muddy. And it just feels like all the action is far away. Or it could be another time that you notice the clouds or the sun, the lack of the sun. Or that you feel the cold and that feels hostile to you. But it's in that very noticing that enables us to then go, oh, I'm feeling a bit out of the action. What action can I take to be more in the swing of things where everything's happening? What does that look like? Is that about going for a walk with friends? Is it about going to a networking event? Is it going out to a club? What is it that would help me feel less isolated? If that's a pattern I've noticed. Could be that the grey clouds remind me that I'm only paying attention to everything that's going wrong and that the action is about being more grateful for noticing the new growth in the trees at the edge of the beach, or the heather, or the gorse bushes actually, on the top of the hill, like little yellow beacons. That the reclaiming all our parts invites us to look at the whole of the landscape and go, which part of the landscape am I denying? Which part of the landscape am I turning away from? And how can I, what part of the landscape have I forgotten? And then connecting in with every part of that landscape, that feels really quite powerful. That if you look out at the landscape and notice a part of the landscape that represents how the out of sortness that you're feeling, and then see that part as part of the bigger whole. And initially don't even try and do anything about that part. See it as part of the bigger whole. Breathe. I give breath to all of my parts. I reclaim all my parts. Claim that part, but also claim everything else that you can see out of the window, the trees, the plants, the sky, claim everything. And in the same way that when I wrote that poem, it felt like it did bring all of my parts into being. It was all of me is here today. All of me is what I'm offering the world, not just the parts that I'd like you to see. You're also getting the part of me that's sitting here going, what am I going to say next? They're expecting something insightful. But perhaps that silence, perhaps the pauses give you time to look out of the window. Give you time to notice what it is about that landscape that you're denying or turning away from or don't like. Give you time to, I mean, the poem says I give breath to all of my parts. But what I'm also getting a sense of as I say this is the shifting my viewing, my seeing, into a much broader peripheral vision. I mean, I don't know if I can see more than 180 degrees, but it is about putting my eyes into that, being able to see everything. Right to the side of right of me, right to the left of me, and all in front of me. And all of that being all of me. And all of that landscape in front of you being all of you. And this is another of those examples where, unless you're thinking of a situation you want perspective about, unless you're looking out of a window or even walking around in nature, this is going to sound quite superficial, because the words I'm saying, what I'm noticing in the landscape, has meaning to me. And therefore, if you're able to reflect that, replicate it, as I'm doing it, you're doing it, it's much more likely for you to get an aha in your own life as you notice something and go, oh, I saw this beautiful flower holding tight. It's been buffeted by the wind, but it's still able to be brilliant. And to get that one bit of confidence that you needed from nature. I'm also minded to note that I've turned my back. There's another 180 degree of view behind me. And the reason I've done that is because the wind's coming from that direction, and therefore you'll get a bit of a so I can't really turn round. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn you off, turn round, notice what I notice about that reclaiming, because perhaps the reclaiming isn't just 180 degrees, perhaps the reclaiming has to be done at 360 degrees, and I'm not going to know what that means until I've done it. So let me turn you off, turn into the wind, and I'll come back. I hope you've done that too. I hope you've taken time to turn around and look behind you, which obviously is only going to be possible if you're outside. But what happened was, I turned round, was there was a relaxation. Oh, how beautiful. The sun is setting behind me, and it felt as if there was more oxygen there, more space, more breath, more everything. And I it invites me to think about, when we look at a landscape, when I say think of a landscape, pick a part of the landscape that represents how you're feeling, that what I also need to do is now turn around and do the same again. Because if you picked the landscape in front of you, and are you denying the part because the solution lies behind you in the landscape, that 180 degrees that's behind you? Now, this is explorations. This is every time I'm doing this, I'm bringing who I am today to this landscape. So if I was to do this tomorrow, if I was to do this next week, I'd be saying something different. So these podcasts can only ever be an example of what's possible that you can then have a nudge. Oh yeah, if I do that, yeah, when I did that, that made a difference for me today. And then you've got a technique up your sleeve that you can use in the future. The real aha for me today has been about not taking the first answer about the landscape in front of us that reflects the situation. How might it be that the solution's behind us, that we're, it's that hidden from view that I talk about so often, that using metaphor to solve our problems is about finding things that are hidden from our conscious and our logical view. But even when we pick a metaphor, do we do that and then try and hide the solution? Because sometimes we know what the solution is, don't we? We know what the solution is. Why might it be, when we're ungrounded, that we don't really want the answer to be ourselves? We want the answer to be other people. We want the answer to lie outside ourselves. I know, having lived on my own for so long, that oh, sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I don't want to be able to cope. I want somebody else to come and sort stuff out. I don't want it to be me that has to sort it out again. But I wonder whether that's what this grounded to me, and where this tangent that I've gone off on today is about. That sometimes we look to the landscape and are still looking for the external answer. That's still going to be, we want that person to change. We want somebody else to do the hard grafting. We don't want to take responsibility for our change in mindset. That the ungroundedness, I keep coming back to this one stanza, until I realised my ungroundedness came from within, an uprooting and disconnection from myself. Sorry for the pauses. I'm hoping the pauses are helping you make sense of this too, because I'm grappling with what this means for me, and it's as if it's just out of reach, and yet there's something really quite beautiful that's just out of reach that I need to grab. And it may only make sense for me, and it may not make sense for you, but accepting the 360 degrees is all of the parts. And I have to accept responsibility for tending all those parts, for being responsible for all of those parts, for loving all of those parts, for caring for those parts, for having empathy for those parts when one part is struggling. Or one part is being battered by the wind, that I can hold strong in all the other parts while that part is getting what it needs. And that's enough rambling on for me. I'm going to leave you with the I Reclaim All My Parts poem and invite you to look out of your window, to walk in nature as you listen to the poem. And just really connect in with what does that mean for you today? What does that mean for you in relation to that specific challenge that you brought to this podcast with you? And more specifically, what action does that mean? What action can you take that would enable that reclaiming of parts to be fully embodied for that situation? I reclaim all my parts. I reclaim all my parts. The parts I've lost along the way. The parts whose existence I've denied, the hidden parts, the unacknowledged and unappreciated parts, the forgotten parts, the parts I've found it hard to love. I reclaim all of my parts. I give breath to all of my parts. I love all of my parts, and all of my parts love me. If you've enjoyed today's episode of Landscaping Your Life with Alison Smith, do please remember to follow the podcast so you're notified about future episodes. Leaving a review would also be very much appreciated. So too, telling family and friends if you think it would also be helpful for them. You'll find more about the Landscaping Your Life process in my book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees, Landscaping Your Life to Get Back on Track, available from all online bookstockists, and by searching Landscaping Your Life on YouTube, Facebook and LinkedIn. Wishing you every success in using nature to landscape your life.